Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis tonight. I want to talk to you about family a little bit. We're going to be in Genesis in a couple of different places, but we're going to start in chapter 3. And chapter 4. Every one of us here belongs to somewhat of a family where you want to claim, whether your family claim you or your family don't claim you or you don't claim them, whatever, we're all part of a family, right? We all have a blood. We all were born with a mother and a father. And so we all have somewhat of a family experiences. But not everybody has grown up with a good father. Not everyone has grown up with a good mother. Not everyone has grown up with a mother and a father. But they had somebody. But they had someone. We all know that we're part of a family somewhere. I want to remind you as we continue to go that there's a bigger family than your blood family. That is the family of God. And the family of God is amazing. We have the greatest Father ever, and He is loving, full of compassion and mercy. But I want to take a look at some of the things of the first family, and I want to talk to you a little bit about generational family and a little bit of those things that of the New Testament tells us how our families can change. All right? So let's dive in here. We're going to look in here that Adam and Eve have had a son named Cain and a son named Abel. And they are not in the garden anymore. They have sinned and ate from the forbidden tree. And God had put them outside the garden. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean God stopped loving them. A lot of people really pointed at Adam saying, listen, God still loves people. He still loved Adam and Eve. What we see here in chapter 4 is we see some things that come up here that we start seeing new names. Not just Adam and Eve, but some new names. And we see a family coming together, being a family growing. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, we'll start there. Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I've had a male child with the Lord's help. Then she also gave birth to his brother Abel. Did you notice that it says with the Lord's help? A lot of people think that Adam and Eve just kind of turned their backs, as they were pushed out of the garden, that they turned their backs on God. No. Here it says, with the Lord's help, I was able to give birth to a son, all right? Have this child. It's a male child. So she gave birth to Abel, and it says, now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock, and their fat portions. Now, what we do know here is they're beginning to do offerings to God. Now, we don't know how when all that started, but we know that here we see we're starting to look into a window of seeing offerings, first time in Scripture, an offering. So, it says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious? Now, we also need to stop here for a moment because we are seeing God talk to a man. Now, we're seeing God once again, as he did with Adam, talking to a man. We kind of forget that. But here, God is really being close to people. He is still conversating somewhat with some people. We know here, we see this conversation. So somehow, we see God speaking in this conversation. Then the Lord said, why are you furious and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, so there is a conversation between God and Cain about, listen, if you want it to be accepted, you got to do it the right way. You got to do it the right way. Now, there's a little bit of a message in there, but that's not where I want to be on offerings. We're going to move on. Now, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. So we see the first murder is in the family. We see something going on. Cain did not listen to God. Now listen, sometimes we would say, if God would tell me something, I would listen. Listen, people heard from God and still did not listen. The man went out there and he got his brother out into a field and he killed him. Do you think this man might have some jealousy, anger issues? You could tell that he did. And it goes on. As we want to go on, it says, so, then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's? Some of your versions may say, am I my brother's keeper? I'm just amazed on how he smarted back to God. I'm just still amazed that God's still allowing this man to stand. He's saying, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. Well, we know right there that he lied to God. We always say this, and it's so true. If you don't deal with the sin in front of you, it'll be one sin after another, and he lies to God. And then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be restless, wander on the earth. The man, now he's being cursed by God. Just didn't want to listen. But Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. What do you think that he's actually getting? Actually, God gave him some mercy there. God gave him mercy. He took his brother's life. He lied to God. And now he says, it's more than I can bear. My punishment is too great to bear. Since you are banishing me today from the soil, I must hide myself from your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me. Did you notice he says, I'm going to be banished today? He didn't go against God like it wasn't going to happen. When God said it, he just knew it was going to happen. This is not a person who did not know of God. This is a person who knew of God. He was doing offerings. Then the Lord replied to him in case. He says, a punishment is too great to bear. Since you are banished me today from the soil, I must hide myself. And they're going to kill me. And then it moves on. It says, then the Lord replied to him, in that case, whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. And he placed a mark on Cain. And we don't know what that mark is, but we know that when people saw it, they knew this. That whoever found him would not kill him. Then Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. I want to tell you this. When you study your Bible and you want to preach or you want to teach, make sure you get the Bible that you were studying because you know the words from the one version and you're trying to do it from another version. That's why my words kept twisting. He was banished from the family. He was banished from the land. And then he went out, and the Bible says there in verse 17, then Cain became intimate with his wife. We're not going to get all to that part there, but he conceived and gave birth to Enoch. There we go. If you don't read your scriptures correctly, this is where we get messed up. This is not the same Enoch that we all know. This is a different Enoch. Okay? Now, in this church, there are two Britneys. So people can have names. In this church, there are two Phils. But they come from two different bloodlines. What we see here is the bloodline that's coming from Cain. This is Enoch that he had. Okay? So Enoch came. It's going to sound a little link, but there's a reason for it. So Enoch came and he became a builder of a city. Cain became a builder of a city and he turned that city, he called that city Enoch after his son. And Enoch turned around. He had Irad, was born to Enoch, and Irad. And we go on through some names. And then it goes in verse 19. Also, you'll see the name Methuselah. That's not the same Methuselah in the next one we're going to read on. Okay? So it's kind of like today. There's names that are used a lot during your time, generation, and there's some names like there's old school names that we don't use anymore, but during that time, a lot of people use those same names. But verse 19, it says, Lamech took two wives for himself. And again, this is not the same Lamech that's going to be in the next family. So everybody likes to use the same family names for some reason. But here we see he took two wives for himself. It's the first time we see someone decides he wants two wives. Now, today I was in a Bible study, and I said, listen, they believe that when we read Scripture, it says when a man will come to his wife, and they'll cleave together, and they'll come as one flesh, he'll leave his father and mother and become one with his bride. He'll become one with his bride. But here we see Lamech having two. And I was thrown off today because I had somebody in my group, and Dan's been there in Jerry's group, and a new person in there, and he says, well, what's wrong with that many wives? And then he turned around and says, I said, well, we know that it was allowed through some scriptures that men did that, but when it comes down to it, God says right from the very beginning that a man will have a wife, clean, together, and those two shall become one. And he turned around and he says, well, I'm Muslim. I can have up to three wives. That threw me for a curveball. But we had a good conversation about that. But Lamech has two wives. And here's what he does. In verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, pay attention to my words, for I killed a man for wounding me and a young man for striking me. So basically what he's saying is, I killed a man for wounding me, and I also killed a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged seven times over, then Lamech, it will be 77 times. What we're seeing is we're seeing four or five generations right here where Cain killed his brother. We're seeing another man turns around and he kills a man, and he also kills a young man for striking him. What we're seeing here is we're seeing a bloodline family that does not come back to the Lord. They're not doing the things that they should be doing. And there's a responsibility in the bloodline that where you are. And we're going to come. I got to move along because there's a little bit more going on here. Now we go over to Adam. Remember, Cain is dead. It says in verse 25, Adam was intimate with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has given me another child in place of Abel. Did you hear that again? She knows who God is. She says, God has given me another child. She thanked God for the first one, and she thanked God for this third one here that we know. So it says, God has given me another child in the place of Cain. Since Cain killed him, she knew that Cain, that her one son killed her other son. There's some dysfunction going on, and there's some hurts and heartbreak in that family. Remember, let's go back a second. God said, if you don't eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you do, you shall surely die. You ever think about your old sins and how they affect your family today? Now, a lot of you aren't as old as some of us. But some of us, as we've raised our children, that some of our sins seem like sometimes that our lifestyle has affected even our children. So a son was born to her and him. And it says right here, as the son was born to Seth also, and he named him Enosh. So he had a son. And it says, at that time, people began to pray, call upon the name of the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord. And verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 3 says, Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a son in his likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. It was according to his image, in his likeness. He taught him things of God, just as we've seen it. We don't see it so much through Seth at that beginning, but we've seen it through Cain. We've seen it through their offerings, that there was a conversation. It wasn't a surprise that God was talking to Cain. We don't know how all that was working, but we know there was conversation there. But then we begin to see the genealogy. Now, this is what some people would say, this is the Bible's graveyard. Some people say this is the Bible's graveyard. Because it'll say this person lived this many years and then they died, and this person lived so many years and then they died. And it said, verse 21, Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. Would be the oldest living man. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. And Enoch walked with God And then he was not there because God took him. He was not there. God took him. Do you remember in the Bible of another man that God took right up off the earth and didn't experience death? It's the prophet Elijah. The fiery chariots came down and whisked him up. Now, some of you may be thinking about Revelations and the two witnesses, but we're not going there tonight. Okay? But what I want to go with you here is what we see is that in verse 28, Lamech, which is part of this family too, which comes from Methuselah, was 182 when he fathered a son, and his name was Noah. Noah was found from God to be what? Righteous. What I want to tell you here and all that reading and all that stuff is that we do not get to pick our parents. And sometimes families can have some children that are walking in the ways of the Lord and some children that are not walking in the ways of the Lord. You've taught them the best you could. You're working with them, and some have chosen. And what happens is our choices are very, very important because our choices will be the seed-bearing for our future generation. So I want to share a couple of things with you before I close out here shortly. In 2 Timothy, I want to tell you about how important family is. 2 Timothy, we were talking about families, families that will grow in the Lord, and families that will just draw away. So siblings, brothers and sisters may not be as strong as you are in your walk with the Lord, and maybe there's some that are stronger. But I want to show you something, 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is the stuff that we don't normally preach. But in verse 5 it says, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and he's going to tell him, you need to get it going. You need to fire yourself back up. But there's something he says before that. In verse 5, clearly, Paul says, clearly recalling your sincere faith that was first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I am convinced is also in you. So we have three generations right there of people walking in the Lord. That's some good stuff, if you think about it. But how does it work? It works great for those who are trying to serve the Lord and your family members are serving the Lord. You are blessed. You are blessed. But what about when you are in a family and you become the first Christian in your family? When you have a family that is not serving God, when you have a family that does not go to church, does not pray at the dinner table, that does not think about prayer, that does not bring forth the things in the ways that you do, and they do it the worldly ways, but you're making decisions in the biblical, godly way. How do you make that change? How does it change? I want to show you a couple of things here. In Romans chapter 12, it says this, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We know that our bodies, we have to change, even how we treat our bodies. We don't put the junk in our bodies like we used to, okay? He says, now, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now you're sacrificing your body to the Lord, not sacrificing it to yourself, selfish desires and its fleshly needs. Holy and pleasing to God. We're changing my thinking. You're changing your life about your body. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your thinking has got to change, and it only changes by the Holy Spirit. And it says, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Those people who are believers, such as you and I, are trying to live our life to God. We have a more of a responsibility than what we believe. Some of you have not had children yet, but you will. What you are doing today will determine some of the things that's going to come through as you, as a parent, for the first time. I'll give you an example. When we first had our first children, I spent many times praying over the crib. Anybody done that? You pray over the crib. You pray over your crib. Anybody done that? You pray for your children. When nobody, you do that. But you didn't just do it with your children. As a man who is supposed to be spiritually the leader of your home. Whenever you buy a home, you walk around that property as a spiritual leader, and you pray over that home. And every home and every place I've lived, rented or owned, I prayed around that place. I don't know who lived there before me. I don't know the things that went on there that I didn't know. I don't know if demonic activity was there. I don't know what was going on there. But I do know this, that my body belongs to God, and my family, as I am a spiritual leader, belongs to God. And we're going to teach the ways of God. We're going to have problems. We're going to have sin issues. But we're always going to bring them to God. And our mind will be renewed. It's going to be different than the way it used to be. And it's strange and weird because maybe your father wasn't a Christian. Maybe your mother wasn't a Christian. And you got to work with that. And you continue to work with that. Even though we have the same last name as your last name, and you got uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, here's what he says in 2 Corinthians. He says something here that is huge. If you underline anything, this is a good piece of verse 17 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Once you ask Christ into your life, whatever age you are, you need to understand that God has created you to be a new creation. It's starting fresh and anew. You can start your bloodline fresh right now. It may have been filled with these guys. It was murders, disrespect toward God, lying to God. It wasn't good. But wherever it is in your bloodline, you can start fresh with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you got to take it serious. Because here's what I do. When I come to Christ, I expected my children to come to Christ. I didn't force it on them, but I expected it. They did not come to Jesus in the chronological totem pole order. And that's okay. Because when you become a new creation in Christ, your family is now more than just a family. There comes than just being a dad or a mom. You become responsible for the spiritual welfare of your family while they're in your home. And then when they leave the nest and they fly out, you can only speak into their lives. You can't order them and tell them what to do. They should listen, but again, you speak into their lives by words, but more importantly, by how you act, because they're always watching. Now, if you're a new creation in Christ and your family is not, your brothers, sisters are not, your parents are not, listen, pray that God will continue to move on them. You need to pray for their salvation. They're watching, even when you don't think they're watching. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Satan will always try to bring you back to the old part of your family. Well, you're just filled with a bunch of drunkards. You're just filled with a bunch of people that just love to sin. But Jesus says, no, I've created you to be a new creation. You can't do it without being a new creation anyway, because you're part of that other. You got that old bloodline in you. I don't know about you, but there was some blood that shed my, some blood that was shed that covered my sins. When I drink communion, it's the resemblance of the blood of Christ. All things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Your family may be, how many of times you know in this community or the town you were raised in, and there was a family you said, yep, that's that family, the Brown family. Yep, didn't be surprised, saw them in the paper. Didn't be surprised that that guy got himself in trouble. Not surprised that that girl got herself in trouble. Because that's the Brown family. But isn't it awesome when someone from the Brown family comes to know Christ? And then they are changing some of their ways, and they have some children, and generations start coming over, and they start changing. All of a sudden now, it's the Brown family. Wow, look what the Brown family did. Look what they're doing in the community. Look at them, what they're doing down at the church house. Look at that family. They are examples on how we should be as believers in Christ. You see what I'm talking about? There is an old way in every one of our families, and my family was filled with people that I have several families in my family that are heavy drinkers, alcoholics. But Christ has infiltrated our family, and in another generation, that should be done. Praise the Lord. I hope that family is not the way it used to be, but now it is a new family. There's a line of Cain. That Cain struggled. That family never could get it right. But there was another family that come from that line of Seth, his family, that remembered the things of the Lord, that they called on the Lord, that God chose them to pull out Enoch, and he didn't die. God just took him away. That's awesome. He walked with God. That's amazing. But then there was another one that came up, and his name was Noah, because Noah said, I find him righteous. Setting up your future. You can't make your future family members come to Christ, but I'll tell you what, you can influence that bloodline, your future bloodline, in a way that you help change the legacy of your family. Now, how many of you have a perfect family? How many of you have lost people in your family? We all have lost people in our family. How many of you have problems in your family? Relationship problems. You can't fix everything. But I do know this. You can work on that person right in front of you. You. Right in front of the mirror. You. And you can have that new creation that God creates, that you can start a family, changing the bloodline. Listen, I know my family. The ones that are not living right for God, not being a Christian, they are the ones that have the most problems. They're the ones that put all the drama on the Facebook. But it's those that are Christians that I know in my family that sit back and they get private conversations, praying over certain things, saying, I love them, but man, why they got to be so dramatic? Is that just my family? Is that just my family? It's sad to say, but I got to say it. Not everybody in your family is going to heaven. Not everybody in my family is going to heaven. But I know this. I can be the man that God's called me to be, imperfect as I am, trying to share the gospel, love on my family, teach my children to teach their children the ways of God. Then I know that more of my family will go to heaven in the future than what went in the past. That's important to me because I love my family. Even the knotheads and the rockheads. I love my family. How many of you have family that are in prison today? If you ain't loving them and you're the Christian, I guarantee you there's nobody else loving them. You got to reach out. You just got to reach out. We can't be like Cain. And be by Lamech, worried about myself. Anybody bothers me, anybody touches me, they get 70 times more. That's just anger and jealousy and just this, oh my goodness. It's horrible. We all have families. Don't expect your families to come to Christ unless you come to Christ first. And don't expect God to do something for your lost loved ones when you're not doing anything to share the gospel to them. I'd rather them be angry with me than to say that they never heard me share it. The hardest people to witness to is your family, because they always see the negative. They always look at you as a goody-two-shoe churchgoer. Don't let those be obstacles, because that's what the devil will use as obstacles. You speak right through that mountain, and you let God do what he's going to do. You just share the gospel with them, because they need Jesus, just like you did at one time. So tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to stand up, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray. We are in a fast. We know that. But we're going to adjust our prayer time right now. We're going to pray for our families. I'm already concerned about my granddaughters and my grandson having children. And they're little wee things. I'm already concerned. I'm already praying for their salvation and the spouse that they're going to marry. That's how much important God is to make that bloodline about Jesus.